And good morning, everybody. My guest this morning is Erin Dickens. She's one of the founding members of the great jazz vocal ensemble Manhattan Transfer. She's got a new CD. It's called Java Jive, which she's releasing in conjunction with a cookbook called Sizzle and Swing that suggests pairings of recipes with tunes from the disc. This is the tune that goes with a lemon pepper pappardelle pasta dish.
Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you. I never mind all that rain from the sky, just as long as I can see all that love light in your eyes.
It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Erin Dickens is appearing in Baltimore tomorrow night at Germano's Piattini in Little Italy. She'll sing music from her new CD, and this morning she joins me in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Great to be here.
It's good to meet you. So now you have a Maryland connection, actually. You spend a lot of time in Easton.
I do, on the Eastern Shore, which I just adore.
Mm-hmm. So you're a reform New Yorker, huh?
Well, I don't think you're... No, New Yorkers never see the light. We can't help ourselves. I went to Hawaii to try to see the light, but I'm still... stuck in a rut.
Well, this record is terrific, and the cookbook is great, too, and it's a lot of fun. I want to play a couple of versions of the record is titled Java Jive, and I want to play a couple of versions of Java Jive.
Oh,
the
cool.
First is the one you recorded a while back with your buddies in Manhattan Transfer, and the second is the one you've done on this CD.
I love coffee, I love tea. Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. I love Java, sweet and hot. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pot. Shoot me the pot, I'll pour you a shot. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. Oh, slip me a slug from the wonderful mug. I cut a rug just snug in a jug. A slice of onion and a raw one. Drop me one. Hey, waiter, percolator.
That is fun. That's a lot of fun. So this is a tune that you've known for a long time, been special to you in a lot of ways.
Yeah, very much so. It's the first thing that we recorded with Manhattan Transfer back in the day and was brought to us by one of our vocalists, Pat Rosalia, and has been a favorite and a song that I've wanted to revisit for years. And I don't know whether you know this or not, but just it was like a Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland movie. I decided to do the song. I called Tim Hauser. I said, you wouldn't want to do a cameo, would you? He's the only
original.
He's
a former colleague of yours from Manhattan Transfer. Yeah.
And he said, absolutely, I would. And he called Marty, another of the founders of the original group, who called Gene. And they wrote a vocal arrangement, and all the original members are singing on it with me.
Yeah.
So how cool is that?
Yeah. So a great old tune with some great old friends.
Yeah. And my producer, Jesse Frederick, I said, I wanted to record. He said, oh, God, everybody's recorded it. How about we do it hip-hop?
Always looking for the new take.
Always, you know. So I'm delighted with how it came out.
Yeah, well, the whole record is really a lot of fun. And the recipes that go with them are fun, too. Now, of course, you and I are both musicians. And I don't think either of us know a musician who doesn't like to cook. And certainly no musician who doesn't like to eat. But your relationship with cooking, I mean, you come by this honestly. I mean, you've studied cooking the way you've studied singing.
Right, right. And I grew up in a household where my mother was a phenomenal cook and cooked every day. And I don't really honestly know why it took me so long to put the two together, because they go together. I never cook without great music. Every musician I know cooks. People who love music are into food. It seems to be a very homogeneous pairing. They're both passionate, they're creative, they're sensual arts that really bring people and families together. So why wouldn't I put them together?
Yeah, and you took a break from singing for a while and actually cooked pretty seriously. You worked in some restaurants, ran some restaurants, you owned them, right?
I did, and actually that was not when I took my break. I was doing it all at the same time.
Oh, jeez.
You know, of course, I was young. I was in New York, you know. But we had a restaurant called Possible 20 that was started by a consortium of 20 of the top studio players in New York, including Steve Gadd and Will Lee and Chris Parker and names that are legendary in the jazz world. And we all owned this restaurant together, and I cooked in it sometimes and helped manage it. And so,
see, now, a bunch of jazz musicians owning a restaurant together. That actually seems on its face as a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, well, I can't tell you the stories on air.
So let's listen to another tune. This is a tune called Taint What You Do, and it goes in your book with a traditional Vietnamese soup.
When I was a kid, about a 3:30, my daddy said, baby, come here to me. Well, things may come and things may go. Here's one thing you ought to know. Taint what you do, it's the way that you do it. Taint what you do, it's the way that you do it. Taint what you do, it's the way that you do it. That's what gets results.
What a great tune, and you sing it so beautifully. That's really a great tune. Now, tell me about this pairing of music and recipes. I got to tell you, I've been approached probably a 6 times for people to say, we're putting a cookbook together, and would you suggest, the perfect piece? They always want me to suggest classical music for this. And I just have always demurred to that. I've said, I think that that's kind of a false construct that a tune goes with this thing, but I'll take your word for it, Eric. I mean, how do you decide that Vietnamese soup goes with Taint What You Do?
Yeah, I was afraid you'd ask this.
It's a fair question.
I'll give you the cliff notes. This song is a Trummy Young song, and it is so just joyful, and it's so true. It's the way it's your attitude through life. And I paired Vietnamese pho with it because when I lived in Hawaii, I used to gig frequently with wonderful jazz musicians, and we had great friends who played in all the different clubs, one of the clubs being a strip joint in Waikiki. And after our gig at the Hilton Hawaiian Village, we would all pile into the car and go to the strip joint, me for the pho, the boys not so sure, and stay until 3 or 4 in the morning jamming and singing with more great musicians. And so it occurred to me, it ain't what you do.
Yeah.
It's the way that you do it.
Well, that's convincing. Yeah. That's convincing. You got me. You win. Point Miss Dickens. Very good. But what's also nice about this book is the cuisine is quite varied. I mean, you've got French, you've got Italian, you've got this Vietnamese soup. I mean, so you're really all over the globe food-wise.
I think I wanted to, among other things, demystify cooking. None of this is hard, but when people faced with Eggs Benedict freak and say, I can't do that. I want to do it for my husband for Father's Day. I can't do it. You can do it. And it's the same thing with music. I like my music accessible. I want people to not have to have a degree to understand it and feel the passion and get involved in it. So I chose things that so many people want to cook that are so popular that everybody loves that go with the music and made it easy.
Yeah. Erin Dickens, she's a founding member of the jazz group Manhattan Transfer. She's appearing at Germano's Piattini in Little Italy, tomorrow night on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Let's talk a little bit about Manhattan Transfer. I mean, it's, you started this thing and it has endured in the hearts and minds of jazz fans for all these years. But you were actually only together, what, about 5 years, something like that?
I was in the first iteration for about 5 years and began to have such an explosive career in the studio in New York and also wanted to do more original music and more rock. And I felt as if I had not yet found my musical voice. And I knew that ensemble music at that point in my career wasn't it. And so I moved on, and Tim, who is the only other original member in the group, put together a stupid good group. I mean, it's just insane. I'm so impressed with what they've done, and really he had the vision and deserves the kudos for just digging through the music business for so many years and keeping this group at the top of their game. They're really legendary for creating a new vocal genre beyond Lambert Hendricks and Ross, beyond anything we've heard.
Yeah. When you started it, I mean, did you have any models in mind? I mean, people like maybe Ward Swingle and the Swingle Singers. I mean, that's a very different thing than Manhattan Transfer. But, I mean, did you have any aspirational models at that time?
No, not so much. And what's interesting is that then, like today, I mean, today I have a record company that is willing to think out of the box and make a cookbook for me. Go figure. Mm-hmm. Dot Time Records. Yay. Back then I was on Capitol. Capitol didn't tell us what to do. Now, people are completely governed by the record labels. And so here we were. I was underage. My mom had to sign my record deal. And we were a bunch of hippies able to do whatever we wanted. So we tried all kinds of music, really eclectic music. And that was a great, it was a great liberty to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this connection between music and food, you're going to actually extend this tomorrow in your show at Germano's.
Right.
It starts at 6 o'clock, you
right.
know, cocktail hour. I mean, are you going to cook? You're going to demonstrate? Obviously you're going to sing, but what? How's it going to work tomorrow night?
Well, I'm going to put on my eating pants first.
Mm-hmm. I got a few pairs of those.
You got to put your eating pants on. We're going to the chef, Chef Moss at Germano's has done run-throughs, is cooking many of my recipes and many of Germano's recipes. And we start with a cocktail hour with a couple of Germano's wonderful truffle pizza and a spinach pie that I do. And they're cooking all my recipes using my sizzle and swing spices, which is so great, which I'll tell you about in a minute. And then we go upstairs to the cabaret where the beautiful grand piano is, and we serve a 4-course meal. We'll be talking about wine pairings and serving different wines with each course. And I'll be talking about how easy it is to make this stuff and how fun it is. And then we shall sing.
Yeah, that's yeah. So that's a whole new take on patter in between songs, right?
Yeah, no
instead
kidding.
Of, instead of, you know.
You know, I've got a kid, a friend named Paul Cullen, who was the bassist with Bad Company for mm-hmm. years. He now calls it From Bad Company to Good Company. And he's an Italian chef. And so we've had a lot of fun talking about our different, you know, journeys doing this.
Yeah. Now, you have worked with some of the big names in pop music, mm-hmm. rock music. You work with Greg Allman. You work with Leonard Cohen, Bette Midler, James Taylor, Talking Heads. What kind of work were you doing with them? And it must have been a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. And each one's so different. I would say the most poignant and the most profound experience for me was Leonard Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
I think he taught me about authenticity, and he was so genuine and so real that, it was an experience I'll never forget. Greg Allman, whole nother thing. Great, 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 great music, and Southern boys rocking and rolling. So
yeah.
They're
yeah.
all different. Each artist is different.
Have you seen the movie 20 Feet from Stardom?
No, and all my friends want to kill me.
Well, it won the Oscar
I know.
For Best Doc. I thought it was a terrific thing. And that whole notion of the people singing behind the band, it really, you got to see it.
Yeah, no, really I will. Great. It's I understand, a beautiful movie and very accurate. I mean, it's quite an experience to stand on a stage with someone like Leonard Cohen in front of 500,000 people in Paris, screaming and yelling. It's really something. It really moves you and changes you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's your opportunity for musical input in that relationship and in that collaboration? I mean, are you taking orders from the boss at that point, or are you, you know, able to, I mean, because you have such great musical chops and such great musical mind, are you allowed to spread your wings a little bit?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think so. I think that when you walk into rehearsal the first day, the artist expects you to sound like the records.
Mm-hmm.
I had the great fortune to record some records with many artists, so I got to sound like me, which worked out fine for me.
That's easy.
But what happens in rehearsal is each drummer has a different feel. Each guitar player plays a slightly different lick, which drives the way a singer might interpret something, or I might pick up a guitar or a percussion instrument. And sometimes the artist will say no, and sometimes they'll say, yeah, let's do it different. Let's do it this way or that way.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, working this solo record where you're fronting the band, I mean, a very different experience. But you got great people working with you.
Yeah.
And as you say, your buddies from yesteryear with Manhattan Transfer on the record, too.
Right,
And you recorded this in New York?
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I recorded with Rob Mounsey, who is an extraordinary arranger, producer, pianist, in his studio. We tracked. And then I went to my producer, Jesse Frederick's studio in Delaware, and we did the vocals. And then we did some fly-in parts from musicians from L.A. and from Nashville and stuff like that.
Yeah, you can do it from all over the world.
You really
now.
Can now, you
press
know.
Press of a button. Yeah.
But it was an extraordinary experience. Yeah.
Well, Aaron Dickens, it has really been fun meeting you and hearing your record, and have a great time tomorrow night.
I will, and I have to say one more thing.
All right, quick.
Tomorrow night, we're benefiting Paul's Place. Which operates in the Pigtown area of Baltimore, doing great, great good. So come out. There's only a few seats left, but I hope everyone will come.
All right. Erin Dickens, her CD and cookbook are called Sizzle and Swing, Jazz for Foodies. She'll introduce it tomorrow night at Germano's Piattini in Baltimore's Little Italy. Show starts at 6 o'clock. And as Erin has said, it will benefit Paul's Place. That's a nonprofit organization that works in the Pigtown, Washington Village community in southwest Baltimore. We've got a link to more information on our website. Come to wipr.org/Maryland Morning. Monday morning, we'll take a tour of the Walters Art Museum to check out their exhibition of Japanese vases. Plus, theater critic J. Wynn Russick gives us her take on a new show that looks at Edgar Allan Poe through an LGBT lens. I hope you can join us Monday morning on Maryland Morning. Our producers are Stephanie Hughes, Matt Purdy, and Jamila Kay. Our interns are Cassandra Morales and Justina Latimer. Thanks to Zeke's Coffee for our morning Java. Thanks to Clean Cuts for our theme music. And thanks to you for listening. We'll leave you with a little more from Erin Dickens' new CD, Java Jive. Here's I Just Found Out About Love. For Sheila and Nathan, I'm Tom Hall. Have a great weekend.
Time only, it's a lifetime deal. And I know it's real. I can tell by the way that I feel. Right now, I'm living it up and I like it.